She's not here to judge. She's here to report the honest news on healthy living. She's Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. It's time for Naturally Savvy.
October is Breast Health Awareness Month, and we are so thrilled to have the fantastic Dr. Amay Shunney. She's a licensed naturopathic doctor, and she joins us now. Hi, Dr. Shunney.
Hey there. Nice to talk with both of you today.
Oh, it's so nice to have you on. So let's jump right in. I would love for you to talk a little bit about lifestyle factors and breast cancer.
Sure. I mean, it's interesting because whenever we have a month like October where it's so visually, from the media perspective, devoted to an aspect of women's health, it's just such a great opportunity to talk about women's health in general. And when it comes to breast health and breast cancer prevention, all of these kinds of things, it really does come to this very common place of what are dietary and lifestyle measures that are important for women, period, across the board, no matter, what you're trying to focus on. And the good news is that helps decrease our risk for chronic diseases like cancer and support breast health, too. So, again, good news here is that so much of it comes back to things that we actually have the power to do, and that is to make changes and focus on diet and lifestyle. And so, for me and when I speak with my patients and when I educate in the community, I talk a lot about things like an anti-inflammatory diet, the importance of exercise, sleep, stress management, and the use of supplements. But gosh, everything starts with food, doesn't it? I mean, what we put in our mouths is so important for health.
No, absolutely, and it definitely does. But I'm also a big fan of supplements. You know, I do believe that we cannot get everything we need from food, and that's where supplements play a large role, especially when it comes to our health. I'd love to know a little bit about some of the research, and if you're not up to speed on it, just let me know. But I'd love to know what some of the research is on, omega-3s, on vitamin D, and women's health, and specifically breast cancer.
Sure. We don't have as much data specifically on breast cancer as we'd like to when it comes to nutritional supplementation. I do think that there is some good data that shows that vitamin D is very important when it comes to breast cancer prevention and treatment. And then, of course, with our omega-3s, what we do know specifically is that omega-3 fatty acids are really important for the reduction of inflammatory markers, and we do know that there is a big link between chronic inflammation and the development of certain cancers.
That's right.
So in that respect, we can kind of indirectly route it back. As far as women's health goes, though, I mean, my goodness, omega-3 fatty acids, the long-chain ones in particular, and of course, long-chain omega-3s, EPA and DHA, these are the ones that you get from fish and you get from fish oil. And these have been shown to be important for, gosh, every stage of a woman's life, from trying to conceive and potentially helping to conceive to labor and delivery outcomes, to infant and childhood development, which isn't women's health per se, but, often is certainly an important consideration for women. Research has shown that omega-3s can help with painful periods, can help with hot flashes, can help with mood across the board for men and women. It really, for everybody, but certainly for women as well, omega-3s are a womb-to-tomb proposition. There is data that supports its use at every step of the lifespan.
So, Dr. Shunney, tell us, I know for some of people who might be listening now saying, wait a second, I know, it's good, but how much should I be taking? Should I take it with food? What kind of supplement should I be looking for? So can you tell us a little bit about, answer some of those questions for those who want to start on, let's say, an omega-3 supplement today? And by the way, I take omega-3s all the time. I'm a huge fan of them.
Me too.
So I love that we're even talking about this today.
Yeah, well, I think that, as you mentioned, I think probably there's no area where it is as apparent that we can't get enough from our food where we have to supplement, as with omega-3s. Omega-3s and omega-6s are both essential fats, which means, for your listeners who you probably already know this from you, but I'll repeat it anyway, essential fats are things that we have to get from our food because we don't make them, and they are essential on the cellular level because they make up the cell membrane of every cell of our body, and they impact every system of our body because of that. Omega-3s and omega-6s compete for the same receptor sites, so having a proper balance between the two of them is incredibly important. In America and really in every Western society, we get so much omega-6 in our diet. We get it from dairy and we get it from meat. We also get it from nuts and seeds and legumes, and in particular vegetable oils, which have become much more prominent in our diet in the last century. In fact, soybean oil consumption has increased 1,000-fold in the last century. Mm. So we've got all omega-6s, and then where do we get our omega-3s? These long-chain omega-3s that we need, we can only get from fish and fish oil. Mm-hmm. So trying to balance that with diet is very challenging for most people. So supplements are, in this case, pretty important for most everybody. I generally recommend at least 1,200 milligrams of EPA and DHA, the long-chain omega-3s combined, and then I often do go much higher. People need to learn how to read their labels, though, right? Labels, fish oil labels can be confusing.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And then what do you think they should be looking for?
So exactly. So point being, you can look on the front and it'll say 1,000 milligrams of fish oil, right? But if you look on the back and you look at how much EPA and DHA is in there, this can really vary based on the fish, the form that the fish oil is in. And EPA and DHA, if you're trying to get a therapeutic benefit the way all the studies tell us to or show where the benefit is, you really want to make sure you're getting that therapeutic dose of EPA and DHA. So you want to flip your fish oil bottle over. You want to look at the serving size. You want to look at how much EPA and DHA is in there, add them up, and then see how many you have to take to get at least 1,200 and possibly more depending on what's going on and what your diet's like.
Can you overdose on the amount of fish oil you take?
You know, okay, so the official the official Dr. Shunney opinion is I think it would be really challenging to do,
okay,
and I haven't seen data of any cases of people doing so. The European version of the FDA came out in 2012 with a statement saying that there were no adverse effects reported with 5,000 milligrams of EPA and DHA daily. The FDA had a statement out for many years prior to that stating 3,000 milligrams. And, you know, that 5,000 milligram dose that came down from the European group was less about over 5,000 we see adverse effects and more that, you know, this is as high as we've tested and seen and it's fine. So I don't think that's anything to really worry about. I think it's the deficiency that really each and every one of us needs to be concerned about.
Now, Dr. Shunney, I know we're talking about women's health, but I'm curious for children as well. It's important that they be taking a good omega-3.
Absolutely. And it's important that pregnant women be taking a good omega-3 because, you know, never is brain and nervous system development so important than for a fetus and for and then subsequently for infant and childhood growth, development, and attention, and mood, and immunity, and obesity rates, and I mean, it just goes on and on and on. So, yeah, you know, many companies out there do have both infant and children's dosing products. You want to dose more by weight at that age, and you know, some of the companies do give you actual, you know, by weight dosing. As you can imagine, when you think about brain and nervous system development, infants actually need more milligrams of EPA and DHA per pound of body weight than, say, children do, than, say, adults do, because the intensive nature of what's going on is more pronounced at that early age. Everybody takes it. I mean, I took it when I was pregnant, and my son has taken it, you know, every day since he was born, and he's 6 now. So, and he will continue to do so. And it's hard to get kids to eat an adequate amount of fish. So, you know, even for them, it's just as important, if not more important.
You know, we're out of time for today, but I have one last question. If you can answer really, really quickly, I once read that there was a study that said that children who ingest fish oil or adequate amounts, sorry, we even have like 20 seconds, adequate amounts of fish oil grow straight teeth. Did you ever see that study or was I sleeping when I read it?
I doubt you were sleeping, and I'm not surprised it's there. I have not seen it, though, but there are so many studies showing that children who are exposed to EPA and DHA in utero had so many immune benefits and less rate of allergies and postpartum in the immediate months following birth. So it's pretty impressive stuff.
All right. Well, I'm going to follow up with the folks at Nordic Naturals and ask them and see if they came across that study. And if you want to learn more about omega-3 research, you can visit omega-research.com. Dr. Shunney, thank you so much for being on our show today. It was a pleasure having you on.
Thanks, ladies. Have a great day.
You too. I'm Andrea Donsky, along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a beautiful day and stay well.